Nau mai, Wairuatapu, haere mai ki kōnei.
Morena. Good morning.
Hello.
Elijah and Karen here. We are the lead pastors of Unite Church, and we are a church of small communities that apprentice under Jesus together.
As a community of prayerful love, we desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus, according to the Bible, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Would we be those that know, practice, and carry the love of Jesus?
You do the rest.
Thanks, Karen. Knowing the love of Jesus in our hearts, practicing it prayerfully in community, and carrying it as missionaries in this world. And now more of me.
Whoa, you're really taking it.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
This is out of control. Hey, good morning, and just extra special welcome for those of you who have are kind of new to our community. We're in an exciting season of looking at church planting beyond Nelson, and it's always good to be in community together and to pray for one another and be in the space where we're believing for God to do His good work in our hearts and lives. So Matthew 10, in this video, this one right here, we're going to look at this week's passage in Matthew 10, the whole chapter. I really struggled with this one. I don't know about you guys. And to be honest, as I've sat with the scripture, inviting the Holy Spirit to lead me, which is what I do. I like to sit, ask His presence to be there as I sit down in the morning with my coffee and my kids. And really, as I've done that, I still have and spent a lot of time looking at some other things around it. I have more questions than answers. And I guess really all that to say, if you're feeling the same way, that's okay. Mm. And we sit with trust in Jesus in the middle of the mysteries and questions, inviting His Spirit to lead us, even when we don't get it. Mm-hmm. So with that said, let's have a look at some of the framing on this passage. So Jesus sends out the 12. Up until now, they have been watching and listening, but at this point, they are now called to practice and do. He is sending out His apprentices as messengers to follow in His ways, to share the good news of the kingdom of God, which is to welcome in those who have been on the outside, to rescue humanity from the crushing weight of having to create our own identities, to show us who we were created to be and who we were made to be with. And so if God is creator, and as people of Jesus, this is what we believe, then it's reasonable that God would know us better than we know ourselves. And if God knows that we can't do it alone, but He honors our own decisions as His children to walk away, and if that means we need rescuing from the pain that we cause, then the logical next step is for God to come as Savior and Healer, to rescue those who are lost back into the relationship we were specifically designed for. You can see Jesus doing this in the Gospel of Matthew, bringing things back to the way they're supposed to be. So Creator becomes Redeemer and Healer. God is Savior, God with us. This is the good news. This particular passage is about bringing the kingdom to those who already know the story. Those who are the people of God, the Jews, those who know and believe and follow God. The disciples are to go to their own people to bring light, healing, deliverance, the good news of God with us. Now, there will be a time in the story when God sends messengers to all people, but this time Jesus is inviting the people of God to be a part of their original purpose. We see this in Exodus when God calls His people to be a nation of priests. What does this mean exactly? It means that they would show those around them what partnership with God looks like. Key themes here being people of peace, forgiveness, and trust in God. They're relational terms, connection, togetherness, process together. This passage continues the story of God desiring to partner with His people. See, God is not chaotic. He is telling a story from beginning to end. Jesus is the story in flesh, the God who makes a way for us by becoming the way. This is the hope that is an anchor for our souls, that even now in the world we live in, we hope for a God that will one day make all things new again. And we all know this, humanity feels this in the deepest part of us, that things are not the way they're supposed to be, and that we long for, eternity. One of the key themes here is the context for which the message is given. And this context is the tension between two kingdoms, the kingdom of Shalom and the kingdom of the world. One born from love and trust that seeks to rescue and heal, and one born from fear and pride that seeks to take and hurt and hide. Jesus is honest about the response to the message. So he's really honest about what happens when we go into that tension of two kingdoms. There will be pain and suffering and struggle. This message is not going to be received by everyone. The kingdom of God exposes what is in our hearts and offers an invitation to receive or reject. I've noticed this in neighborhood churches. Being in a small faith community exposes what goes on in our hearts. It exposes a willingness or not to engage into the things of God, and then invites us to lean on God in our weakness. This passage is honest about the ugliness inside of humanity. Jesus is not affirming suffering. He's not affirming the horrible things that are going on. He is pulling the blanket off of the tension between the heart of God and the heart of humanity. There is an invitation here to partner with him in bringing reconciliation to humanity. But how do we partner? One key thought for us as those who apprentice under Jesus is that partnership with God flows from knowing him deeply. So before Jesus sent out his disciples on a little wee mission, he walked with them. He showed them. He was close to them. They were together. Living from the authority and power of Jesus flows from walking with him. I personally find that my apprenticeship to Jesus ebbs and flows throughout the week. I'm not always good at following Jesus. I don't always posture myself to listen. I get caught up in the worries and desires of my life. But Jesus is consistent. He is faithful in his kindness towards me and guidance of my heart. He continues to offer his mercy and grace to me and for me. And so I walk with him in spirit. I remind myself throughout the day, not that I can do this, I don't remind myself of any merit that I have. No, I remind myself of who Jesus is, his grace that is powerful and personal. He is the one that is just a thought away. And as I walk with him, partnership flows. So as we walk with Jesus, partnership will flow.
That's great. Thanks, Sige. And Elijah said at the start how these stories are a bit of a struggle to get through, and I totally agree. I think a while ago I was like ready to get into Matthew to be like, yes, we get to read about Jesus and he's going to say this stuff that I think is going to be awesome and easy to chew on, but it's hard. And it's tricky to understand what he's saying at times, and how that applies to me, to us, in this space right now. But rather than seeking a purely just rational understanding of this, of these passages, we need to come from a different angle, humility. It's a theme that's in my mind and my heart at the moment, and I think God is trying to pinpoint it again, its importance and its significance in our apprenticeship to Jesus. We've read this week a lot of Jesus's instructions to the disciples in teaching, and some of it seems clear and others not so much. He speaks a lot of truths, just bang, 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 in a row. And it would be interesting to have been there to see him teach and how close together those teaching are and if there's conversation in between, but this is what we've got. But always, 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 Jesus speaks with the heart of God in his words. He's always speaking relationship with the Father being of utmost importance, and the rest flows from there. And if we're reading these verses, or any verses really, without that in mind, without the heart of the Father and the significance of our relationship with him, we're at risk of pride. our relationship with the Father is top priority. And for that to be our reality, humility has to be profoundly active in our lives. And there's some questions that I have that are helpful, I think, in doing this. Lord, what can you show me about who you are? While we read the verses, what can you show me about who you are? What can you show me about who I am or about who we are people? And where in my life do I need to repent and step back so as to not be in danger of being prideful, just trying to understand for understanding's sake, and not seeking the heart of the Father?
Yeah, great.
All these questions come from a heart that is humble, that is willing to learn, to be challenged, to be filled, and to be purified.
Brilliant. That's good. And really, those are the questions we want you to sit with. So, Lord, what can you show me about who you are? What can you show me about who I am and where in my life and who we are and where in my life do I need to repent, step back and from myself and I guess step forward in trusting you, leaning on you, relying on you, Jesus, because he's not just the one in the story. He's the one by his spirit in our hearts. And it's a mystery that we trust.
To end, thank you, Unite, for your regular gifts of money and time, committing yourselves to the word and prayer and the practice of Christ's love and community. We are thankful to Jesus for you.
And we're so excited when we hear the stories of God at work in our communities. These communities aren't anything flashy or special. There's just ordinary people that are seeking Jesus together. But God is at work. And that's exciting because he's faithful to do that. Okay, so let's just take some time again to put our money, our treasures, our decisions before God. And I'd love to help pray over us. Father God, thank you for providing for us, for tithes and offerings given to Unite, for your spirit leading us in generosity. We trust you, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, with our money, our possessions, our time, and our choices. We trust that you are good and that you lead us well. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. You can find information about Unite and get in touch via our website.
Absolutely. If you want to listen to the video again, it's on Spotify.
And we have our youth group on Thursday nights, and ask your neighbourhood church shepherd if you want more information on that.
Fantastic. We're looking to start up youth missional events next year, just places where people can experience the love of God. So if you want to be involved in that, contact me. And also, if you're thinking about getting baptised, which is, or even interested in the concept, talk to your neighbourhood church shepherd and we'd love to talk about it. And we already are organising one for next month. It's exciting.
Yes. And finally, our next monthly all-in gathering will be next Sunday, 29th of October at 10 a.m. at the Unite Church buildings.
Awesome. Why don't you just read this benediction?
Benediction.
A beautiful one.
Okay. May we rest in the goodness of our Father. May we trust in Jesus as Lord. May the Holy Spirit form us and guide us as we journey together. May we practice Christ's love in community. May we partner with God in putting the world back together. And above all else and in all things, may we know that we are truly and wholly loved by God.
We're praying for you in the love of Jesus. Aroha nui.
Bye.